certainly no secret we love our independent booksellers, and Scott Meyer is in that class. He is with Merit Books of Millbrook and is here to share with us this morning all of the pre-holiday bounty that he's been stocking the shelves with. And Scott, it's a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here again, Joe. I always love it, as you know.
As do we. So, where would you like to begin, sir?
Well, I'm going to start with The Great American House, Tradition for the Way We Live Now by Gil Schafer. And this is an amazing picture book and a coffee table book and a looking at how Gil, who is an architect, takes the house and makes a total picture out of it. Not just the structure, but the landscape, the interior. And he blends, I'd say, classical architecture, interior decorating, and landscape. And he creatively makes these homes using the past, present, and future. And he also takes the best of our houses, and he updates them and retains its character, but updates it to the, you know, more modern living style of today. So he is a traditional architect. There's no doubt about that. But he does specialize in, as I said, building these new old houses, as well as renovating historic houses, homes. So he pretty much, we actually have some in our area that he has done, and he does a lot in the Northeast and in the South. So it's an absolutely beautiful book.
So I guess I'm missing some of these houses are new, some of these houses are old. Some of this is yes, he's an architect, but some of these are very this book is very much about design and style.
Right. He could take an old house, renovate it, a historic house. He doesn't just take a house, if he say it's the original house that he's building, doesn't just take it and plop it in a land. He has to blend the landscape with the actual building itself, because you don't want to create something that doesn't fit the landscape. And then you're in your living room, and you want to look out the living room at the landscape and the house. So the interior decorating also is an important factor. So you have to take all the elements. You can't just take one and create something. You have to look at all the different options and what's best for the people who are going to be living there, and so on. And he's just a fantastic architect.
Gil Schafer, it is The Great American House, Tradition for the Way We Live Now.
So going along the same theme, we have a book called Old Houses in Millbrook, Being a History of the Village as Told Through the Stories of Its Houses. Now, by John Foreman. Now, this book is locally published by our local newspaper. You have to remember that Millbrook is a unique and small community. We have under 1,400 people in our village, and if you go in a 5-mile radius, you might get 4,000 to 5,000 people. So we're a rural community.
Right.
We have a lot of unique farming, and we also have a lot of houses that could be considered mansions or junior mansions that Millbrook came to be because of them. And so John brings to life the houses and the families that lived in them. So this is more than a beautiful picture book. And as Christopher Gray, I want to read something that Christopher Gray quoted, wrote. Of course, I pulled the paper out, so it didn't. anyway, here's Christopher Gray's.
Yeah.
John's intimate, informed text brings the magnificent history of Millbrook's remarkable houses to the fore, but also mixes in the characters and controversies from day one to the present, breathing life into these structures. It is probable that Old Houses of Millbrook will reach an in-group audience, just who really has heard of Millbrook. It's a pity, because it's an architectural story of rare quality and deserves much wider recognition. But that is probably just the way Millbrook likes it. It's a beautiful book of the houses, and it's not just the mansions with 2,000 acres. It's some of the others, but
Old Houses in Millbrook, being a history of the village as told through the stories of its houses. And these are always very fun to read when you... especially when you're from the community.
Yes.
And great gifts.
Yes, a great gift.
Old Houses in Millbrook. Next, sir.
So the next one is a book called Lyrics and Prose by Rick Ocasek.
Ah.
Rick Ocasek, I'm not a musician, so I'm not as great at this, but he was a member of the Cars, founding member of the Cars.
Yeah.
And
you don't have to be a musician. You could be a listener.
A listener. That's true. I appreciate it.
You could just be a human being listening to the radio.
But what I like about it is that this is his prose and his poems, that you know, his poetry that he made the songs from. And he says that his poems and prose are not fictional. And that when he runs out of prose, he runs out of his songs are going to stop. So they come together, and he creates the lyrics and the songs and a poem, too. So he's not just the lead vocalist and rhythm guitarist and songwriter. He's also a published poet. He's performed his work solely. He's done albums with other artists and had his produced by other artists. So he's a pretty amazing person. And hopefully, and it also has in the book some early handwritten notes and set list doodles, you know, all that kind of stuff. So he's going to hopefully be at the store sometime in the near future when he's, I don't know his tour schedule, but we'll try to get him there.
All right, but rumor has it that he's coming. Rumor has
his wife came to do her signing, so we're assuming.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got you. It all hinges on Mrs. Okasek. Okay, do you have that book, Scott? Or
yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
I'm such a help.
No, I'm just curious to see it. That's very nice. Thank you.
So the next, sorry, go ahead, Joe.
No, go. It's all you, my friend.
So the next book. You know, I get excited about books, and the books that I always pick are the ones that I'm excited about for one reason or another. But this one, How to Think Like a Neanderthal, by Thomas Wynne and Frederick Coolidge, and they're professors at Colorado. So, first of all, I hope you notice what I said. T.A. About a few years ago, not a few years ago, over 100 years ago, Germany changed the spelling of the Neanderthal Valley, which at that time was T-H-A-L, to its real spelling of T-A-L. So about 25% of the people say Neanderthal, T-A-L, whereas the others say T-H-A-L. So this book's title is T-A-L, so I'm going to refer to it as Neanderthal. And for years and years and years, the Neanderthal has fascinated us. And As scientists, archaeologists, and anthropologists discover more about the Neanderthals, they find we're back to possible cave paintings that they did in 40,000 years ago. So we're pushing the cave paintings back even farther, and the DNA project that they have done with them has proved that there is DNA. We have Neanderthal in us. So they did interbreed, which was a hypothesis years ago. And there's been many books and movies and so on about the Neanderthals. But this is an amazing book. It's a fun read. And it really is the most up-to-date information. Now, the only problem with that is, since then, they have found some more information. So it's always, and this was just published a couple months ago. So
it's ever evolving.
It's ever evolving. So this is a great book. And the cave paintings, as I mentioned. The interesting thing is that Europe and Asia definitely has DNA from the Neanderthals in their bodies and so on. But in Africa, there isn't any. And so the supposition is that the Neanderthals didn't evolve until after Africa, you know, when they came to Europe.
Yeah.
And so it's a fascinating thing. So that's this book. And it's a great read. And people, you know, love the Neanderthals and their kind. They're what we think of as their kindness. And they found a speech gene, so they know that they definitely could talk or have communication. So,
How to Think Like a Neanderthal, Thomas Wynne and Frederick Coolidge, published by Oxford.
So the next one, since we do talk about a lot of science books here, we want to know, when can you trust the experts? How to Tell Good Science from Bad in Education, by Daniel T. Willingham. And this book, it's really great for teachers, I would think, in this particular case, as well as people who are getting inundated with all the new discoveries, how do you know which discovery is correct? And so Daniel says to strip it, to trace it, to analyze it, and should I do it? In other words, should you teach it, or should you go to somebody else's ideas? And there are new discoveries every day. And the teachers you know, based on, have to be based on the, you know, you get the ads from the educational companies. Oh, the latest research, and so on. So you have to winnow out and figure out what is the really the true stuff to teach your students. Now, let's go back to the Neanderthals for an example. It says that there's one scientist said there's 1-4% of DNA in our blood, in our personal DNA. Another might say under 2-9%. Another might say under 3%. So that's just a simple mathematical thing. But what do you do? And another scientist might say that the Neanderthals did do the cave paintings, but he measured. How did he find that out? He measured the fire in the cave, carbon dated it to 42,000 years ago. But some scientists say, well, that's not the cave painting, that's the fire. So, you know, you've got to decide what is right and what is not.
Well, and to the point we were making earlier, it's always evolving.
It's always evolving.
So, you know, how to tell good science from bad in education, you know.
It's always a
question mark, isn't it, Scott?
It is, and it's fascinating. That's what makes your mind work. So the next book is to help us understand some of this. This is a history of science book. It's before Galileo, the birth of modern science in medieval Europe. We always think that Galileo and the Catholic Church, that was a scientific revolution.
Right.
But it really was 1,000 years before that with a lot of the monks and other people that did research. And St. Beebe, as an example, was one of the earliest. And 1,000 years before Newton, and he did a lot of things. And then there were, so these people, they laid the foundation for the scientists that we know about, Newton and Galileo and so on, even though they did this beginning of research. So this is a book that fills the gap in the history of science, and it tells the lives of these early monks, and again, mostly monks, which in Europe, and that often the clergy were the scientists, and they were just together. So it's a fascinating book, a great book, and
well, you know, you've been on the show a long time, and I know this about you, that you love books about time,
yes,
and about about where we are in the world
and where we're going, yeah.
and this seems to fit right into that.
So is it a beautiful?
It seems
book?
To be very much a Scott book. Before Galileo, the birth of modern science in medieval Europe by John Freely. It's published by Overlook.
Yeah, it's definitely true that I love the history of science and technology.
That's cool.
But I also feel that we can't just look at the past. We have to look at the past, present, and future. We have to live in all three at the same time.
Right.
So anyway, going on quickly, this next book is called Guest of Honor, Booker T. Washington, Theodore Roosevelt, and the White House Dinner That Shocked a Nation by Deborah Davis. Now, this book is, can you imagine, it's 1901. The Civil War hasn't been over for very long. Booker T. Washington was a slave, was born a slave. Teddy Roosevelt was from one of the top families in the nation. And they come together and have dinner at the White House and talk about, have a good time, talk about politics, educational things, science, just, you know, just chatting around the table. What happens the next morning is shock and terrible things talked about, both of them. Teddy Roosevelt is saying, what are you doing having supper with a former slave? What are you doing having him at the White House? And so on. So it's a social, the social issues that are brought out by this. And remember, also, Buffalo is just getting electric lights in 1901.
Yep.
So this is the time period. And it's a very accessible book. It's a great narrative. It also, Deborah brings in other people that are around there. So you're getting the feeling of what it's like. And then Booker T is called like he's got problems that people are saying about him. So it's not just Theodore Roosevelt, it's everything that's said. And it really just shocked the nation, as it says. All right. So
it is Guest of Honor, Booker T. Washington, Theodore Roosevelt, and the White House Dinner That Shocked a Nation. We probably have time for...
I'll just quickly tell you that there's a new Diary of Wimpy Kid that comes out today.
Very exciting. It is called Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Third Wheel.
And I forgot why I brought this book.
You're funny. It's and the book you're referring to is 1,000 Unforgettable Senior Moments.
By Tom Friedman.
And he can only remember 249
right.
In the book.
And there's some very funny ones in there.
Well, which is a fun birthday gift. And
great gift, or
gift,
stocking
yes.
stuffers. Or...
Absolutely. Well, it is always good to see Scott Meyer. His, you can find him at meritbookstore.com. For goodness sakes, go visit the store in Millbrook. It's a beautiful store, and say hi to Scott. Also, you can find his book picks there and find the book picks at wamc.org as well. Scott, good to see you. Be well, my friend.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.